It's a team conference, so you've got to be excited, you've got to be loud, you've really got to be a big idiot so that they have a good time. And I'm pretty good at that, actually. So I had a blast. It was all day and, you know, crazy songs and loud songs and giving out points to the loudest team. And with all those hundreds and hundreds of teenagers, I had such a good time. And my voice finally caught up with me last night and then this morning. As you can see here, it's not really all there. I was going to sing with Brother Tim, and I said, I don't think I can. I just don't really have it in me. But I text my friend this morning. I said, Brother, pray for me, man. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We had a long trip, awesome trip, but I'm just beat. My voice is hurting. And he said, you're going to do fine. He said, don't remember that, you know, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I said, thank you, man. I needed that. And, I know that I'm not any kind of special preacher at all. I'm just a young man that wants to serve the Lord. And I mess up a lot, but I hope that this morning this message will... It's a simple reminder is all it is this morning. And our text verse was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the title of my message is this. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. You know, this world is constantly changing. Constantly changing. Many of you who grew up, if you're one of our seniors, you know that our country over the years has changed many things. Not just in things that we disagree with, but even in technology. Think of how far technology has come. I bet that when man was on the moon, those in that say, man, I can't believe we're on the moon. And now we look back and say, that was however many years ago. Man, technology has gone farther and farther and farther and farther. You think of how big the first computer was. And now you can do it just on your little phone. Man, things have changed. Things have changed. We think of even in nature, the seasons that change. This season has been around for a little too long, but it's going to change soon. And how to watch the leaves change colors and watch the summer breeze blow by and the spring rain and the winter snow and watch how those things change. Our world is a changing place. Think of the laws of the country, which is, I know our preacher, and he talks a lot about that and reminds us and challenges us to stand up for what's right. But we see our country, many of the laws that were set in stone by good men, good moral men, are changing. Our laws of our country are changing. The entertainment of today is changing. You look back 50 years ago at the entertainment, and many people back then said, man, things aren't this is wicked. But nowadays, how much further it's gotten away from that, and it's even worse how entertainment has changed. How churches, good Baptist churches that were once good, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, how those are changing. How the music in church is changing. Man, this world is a changing place. My son Donald has, over the past 2 years, has changed. I saw a little baby, one of the youth pastor up at Grace Baptist Church, his wife, they had a baby, I believe it was 6 weeks ago. And we saw this little baby up there, and he's so cute and tiny. And I said, man, reminds me of when Seth was that size. And I said, well, he's definitely not that size anymore. He's a lot bigger. But they change. They grow. Many of you who have kids, you remember when they were that big. And now they're, whether they're adults or teenagers or whatever, I mean, you remember that. And we're changing people. We change. There's so much change all around us. We just changed the carpet this past year. Everything's always changing. Everything's always changing. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. It says right here in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. Thank God for the fact that He's unchanging. Today I have four quick points. God is unchanging in four different ways. Many other ways, but I have four I picked out today. God is unchanging in four ways. If you're taking notes, the first one, God is unchanging first in His love. God's love is unchanging. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. God is unchanging in His love. Romans chapter 8. In verse 38 says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God's love is unchanging. God's love for me is unchanging. God's love for you is unchanging. God's love for the people of the city of Jackson is unchanging. God's love for the entire population of the entire world is unchanging. And whether it's the worst sinner or the sweetest saint, God's love is the same for all of us. God loves us, and His love is unchanging. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love is unchanging. It's unchanging. I know that God loves me, not just because He told me so, but I know that God loves me because of what He has done for me, the things that God has given me. I know God loved me because He's allowed me to be the youth pastor at Loomis Park Baptist Church. I know that God loves me because He's given me a beautiful wife. I know that God loves me because He gave me two healthy baby boys. I know that God loves me because He's provided me a home and a vehicle and friends. I know that God loves me because He allowed me to grow up in a Christian home, and I could go on and on and on. But listen, even in trials, even when I don't have a vehicle, even when my kids may be sick, even if one of my kids came down with a disease, or even if I lost my wife, I still know that God loves me because He told me He does. And His love is unchanging. His love is unchanging. You know, when I began to date my wife, I mean, I thought I loved her. And I believe I did. I just had so much, I wanted to marry her. I dated for marriage. Amen. I didn't date just to date. I dated for marriage with parents' approval. Amen. My mother-in-law is here today, and she can vouch for me. And I forgot to mention, she's been here before. Good to have my brother and my wife's mom here today with us. Glad to hear they watched her. She watched our kids while we were gone. But she can say, listen, we did it right. Man, we had their approval. We dated for marriage. We sought God. They prayed. My parents prayed. We prayed. But listen, as we dated, man, we had so much affection for each other, and we would get gifts. And then I remember when we got engaged, how special that was. I told her I loved her. And then on our wedding days, I stood at the front with my best man, my dad behind me, and our groomsmen, and I almost call them grooms ladies, but that's not what they're called. They're bridesmaids. And I stood there, and our preacher was there, and the doors opened, and she began to walk down that aisle. And I remember you see a picture, and it's just this big grin, this goofy grin. And I love that woman so much. I love that woman so much. And in our first year, but you know, as we began to get to know each other, I mean, we thought we knew everything about each other. And you know, those who've been married long enough, you know that's not true. And if we, as year after year, we'll be married 4 years this May. And I know that our love has grown as years, and we learn more about each other, and we've worked through things, we've worked through situations, and our love has grown stronger. And I know that I love her more today than I did on our wedding day. And she could say the same. But with God, He loves us. He's always loved us, and His love has never grown or lessened for us. He has loved us more than anybody else could ever love us, the same all the time. That's how God loves us. Man, He loved me so much, He saved me from my sins. He loved me so much that He died on a cross for me. He loves me so much that He rose again for me, that He sits in the right hand. Listen, that's how much He loves me. That's how much He loves you. He loves you so much He's given you a church and a preacher that loves you. Man, He loves us that much. His love is unchanging. His love is unchanging. Man, I can think about my boys, and they don't, Donald still, he says some words, but he still doesn't know how to say, "I love you." But I always try to tell my kids, "Man, I love you." I want them to hear that as much as they can. "I love you. I love you. I love you." I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that. And God wants us to know that He loves us, which is why He told us so many times in His Word. His love is unchanging. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, To Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Think about it. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has written. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me, and He loves you. And His love for us is unchanging. Number two, firstly, the love of God, I believe, is unchanging. And number two, the will of God is unchanging. Let me explain myself. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The will, God's will is an unchanging will. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. As a young teenager, God called me to preach. He didn't change His mind. As a young teenager, I believe God called me to be a youth pastor. And He didn't change His mind. Now listen, I could have disqualified myself. But if I kept myself pure and holy or and not disqualified myself, listen, God's will for me hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. He wants me to be the youth pastor at Loomis Park Baptist Church. He wants me to preach. And whatever God's will is for your life, whether it is to work at your job, or to be a preacher, or whatever it may be. Listen, that will doesn't change. That will doesn't change. God's will. Listen, I believe there's three different preachers. My pastor, Pastor Rich, as a teenager, he taught us teenagers three different wills of God. Three different wills of God. He talked about the revealed will of God. He talked about those things that God tells us in His Word that He wants us to do, that all Christians should do. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the will of God for every person in this room. Not just preachers, not just Sunday school teachers, not just people who serve in the church. No, for every single Christian, it is God's will for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to be a witness. That is the revealed will of God. It is also the revealed will of God, as it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Listen, it's the revealed will of God that we are in His Word, studying God's Word, reading it, letting Him speak to us through His Word. That is part of the revealed will of God. Part of the revealed will of God is what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Listen, prayer, Bible reading, witnessing. Listen, there are many things in the Word of God that are part of the revealed will of God that every Christian should be a part of. But there's also the perfect will of God. More than just the revealed will. Listen, man, I could read my Bible, pray, be a witness, and not be a youth pastor. I wouldn't be in God's perfect will. I wouldn't be in God's perfect will. I mean, God's perfect will for you and for me. Listen, only we can know that. Only God can tell us that. Only God can show us that. But His will doesn't change. So there's the revealed, the perfect, but then there's also the permissive will of God. And this doesn't really have anything to do with the point, but I want to mention it. Listen, if I knew what God wanted me to do and I didn't do it, and I did my own thing, I'd be in the permissive will of God, which is not a really, it's not a good place to be. Really, the permissive will of God is really the same as being out of the will of God. Because, listen, if God wanted to, if God has the power to literally pick me up by the back of my coat and put me where He wants me, but He won't do that. He's not going to pick me up in the air and bring me. No, no, no. He gives me the opportunity to make a decision to be part of His perfect will. But if I decide not to do that and stay out of His will, I'm in that permissive will of God. And I don't know how long I could last there. We don't know how long God will allow us to be in that permissive will of God to where there's a point when He says, you know what, you don't want to do my perfect will, then and He can do whatever He wants. But His will is never changing. His will is never changing. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, He's not willing that any should perish. It's talking about God's will that all should be saved. I mean, it's God's will. God wants everyone to be part of His family. He wants everyone to be part of His family. That's part of God's unchanging will. He's unwilling that any should perish. God's will never changes. But in our personal lives, in our personal situations, when it comes to God's will, may we as Christians say, Lord, if it's Thy will, I will. If it's Thy will, I will. Lord, whatever it is, if it's Thy will, I will. God's will never, never changes. Thirdly, today, we said His love never changes. His will never changes. Number three, go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 8. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Read this next part with me. But the word of our God shall stand forever. God's word never changes. God's word never changes. Men may try to change it. People may try to change it. Hey, the government may try to change it. But God's perfect word never, 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 never changes. It never changes. It still says what it said since it's been around. God's word never changes. God's word still says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. God's word still gives us the answer to our problems. God's word still shows us how to be saved. God's word still shows us how to be a witness. God's word still shows us how to raise a family. God's word still shows us how to be a good husband. God's word still shows us how to be a good wife or a good child. God's word shows us how to be a good Christian. It still says it because it never changes. It never changes. God's word never changes. It still says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible still says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. His word still says, come ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's word still says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. God's word still says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's promises from His word are still there, and they never, never change. They never change. We can always count on the word of God. We can always count on it. His word never, never changes. My words may change. I may break a promise. I may say one thing and do another, but God's word never changes. Listen, I mentioned all the encouraging things that the Bible talks about, casting all your care and trusting the Lord and all those things. But you know, the Bible also still gives us rules and how to live our life. People who hate Christians will say, "Oh, it's all about rules." And you know, it's not all about rules. It's not all, but there are still rules. The Bible still is a guidebook for life. The Bible still tells us how to live our lives. Yes, it encourages us. Yes, it gives us peace. But it also tells us what to do and what not to do. Man, I told my teenagers a few weeks back, I said, listen, I don't want you to think the Christian life is all about all the things that you can't do. Listen, the Christian life is about all the amazing things that you can do. The Christian life is all about the great things you can do. And I tried to show them from the Word of God. Yes, there are things that we cannot do as Christians that God is not pleased with. But there are so many more amazing benefits and amazing opportunities when you do follow the unchanging Word of God. So many benefits. I think of this past week, the opportunity to bring my teenagers up to Teen Spectacular 2014. And last year was so amazing. Many of you remember the testimonies from last year. How amazing that service was. And I never would have imagined it could have gotten any better. And it got better. It got better. Man, God did amazing things. And the opportunities that I had, I got to lead the singing and sit in the platform with these preachers. I felt so unworthy. I felt like such a rookie. And I'm like, man, I shouldn't even be up here. But listen, the opportunities that God gives us when we follow the unchanging Word of God. Have I messed up? Yes. Have I made mistakes? Obviously, yes. We all have. But if we can truly have a desire to trust in His unchanging Word and obey what He has said, oh, you won't believe the opportunities and blessings that you will get. The opportunities and blessings that you will receive from an unchanging God that He's promised in His unchanging Word. God's Word is an unchanging Word. Oh, thank God that He can't break promises. Thank God that when He promised in His Word that whosoever shall call will be saved, that I know that I can try. I talked to a teenager this week who was talking about doubting their salvation. And she said, you know, I've doubted it, and the devil keeps fighting me, and I know I meant it. And she said, I finally had to realize that God's Word told me if I asked Him to save me and meant it, to forgive me, and I trusted in Him, that I could just tell the devil to shut up, because God's Word said I'm saved. Listen, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for a teenager who finally realized, listen, the devil may give us doubts about our salvation, but if God promised it, oh, He won't break His promises. Miss Hazel spoke, she talked to our team, and she talked about how God has you in His hand, and nothing can pluck you out of it. Nothing can take you out of His hand. Listen, His promises are true. His promises never fail. And thank God for it. His Word is an unchanging Word. His love is unchanging. His will is unchanging. His Word is unchanging. Hebrews chapter 13. We were there at the beginning. Please go again. Hebrews chapter 13. His love, His will, His Word. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Because of God's unchanging Word, and that His promises are true, it gives us our last point, that God is unchanging in His presence. He's unchanging in His presence. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Listen, we can be away from God. That's true. We can be away from God, and our walk can be struggling, and we may not be close to God in our walk, but God is always there with us, ready to with open arms, like the prodigal's father with open arms. I love the story of that prodigal son who wasted his father's money, his inheritance, and came crawling back thinking that his father wouldn't want him, and how his father ran to him and kissed him and welcomed him home. And that's how God is. We may be away from God in our hearts. We may not be close to Him in our walk with God, but He is always with us. His presence is unchanging. His presence is unchanging. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. The same God that was with Daniel in the lion's den is the same God who sits beside you. The same God that was with David on the field as he fought Goliath, that same God is with you in your deepest heartache. The same God that was with Jonah in the belly of the whale as Jonah was trying to run from God, he finally fell. I don't know if he fell on his knees or what happened in the belly of that whale, but either way, he began to cry out to God. The same God that was with Jonah is the same God that is with you in your time of difficulty. The same God that was with Paul and Silas in prison as they sang praise to God, that same God is with you when your kids are struggling. Listen, the same God that was with Joshua as they walked around Jericho all those times, not trusting God that He would have the victory, that same God that was with them is the same God that is with you when you're having struggles and difficulty at your job. Listen, the same God that was with all these Bible stories, He's the same God that is with you and with me. His presence is unchanging. Any situation, God is with us. In the happiest, I think, of this week at Teen Spec, when God met with us during those preaching services and during the invitations, and how, man, you could just feel God in that room so powerful. Oh, it was so amazing. Teenagers getting right with God, getting saved, crying out to the Lord. Oh, it was so amazing. Listen, God is obviously there, but even in our darkest times, when we feel so down and so low in darkness, God is with there. God is there too and with us in those situations as well. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think last night we got home pretty late. We got stuck in the snow, and we didn't know it was supposed to snow that bad, but it did. And we got home, and I mean, I missed my kids. Last year we had Seth with us, and this year, because he was only about a month old. And this year we left both of them with my mom that was here. And you know, we missed them. I actually got to FaceTime them. If you know what the iPhone has, FaceTime. I FaceTimed them this past week and got to talk to them. But man, I missed them. I really did. I just, you know, I missed them so much. And we got home so late, they were already sleeping, which kind of was, you know, was good because I'm glad they were resting. But we wanted just to kind of, you know, play with them and give them a big hug. But they were sleeping soundly, so we kind of left them alone. And we got back pretty late, and I fellowshipped with my brother and my mom. We got home, but I'm like, I need to go to bed. I'm tired. You know, we had a late night on Friday night, and it was a long day and didn't get much sleep. And so I said, you know, I need to get to bed. You know, I plan on getting up and just teaching Sunday school and doing junior church, but now I'm preaching. But I said, I got to get to bed. And in the middle of the night, right before we went to bed, actually, Donald kind of fussed a little bit. We went in and gave, you know, calmed him down. He went back to sleep really quickly. Middle of the night, Donald, out of nowhere, I don't even remember what time it was, he let out the loudest, most fearful scream I think he ever has. And in the past, when he's cried out in the middle of the night, you know, I'll get up and I'll go and make, you know, give, you know, put his blankets back, you know, put his head back. And sometimes he's fallen out, rolled out of bed a little bit. But this was different. This was a lot scarier. I mean, I literally thought someone was either trying to take him or he had got his arm stuck in the bed and hurt himself. It was that scary. I don't know if it was a bad nightmare, but he let out this scream. And it wasn't just one scream. It was scream after scream, almost like if you've heard of night terrors. It reminded me of that. It wasn't one because he calmed down, but he let out this scream after scream, and I literally instantaneously jumped out of bed. Usually I'll kind of get up and walk in there. I sprinted around the corner of that hallway into his room, ready to fight somebody. I'm like, what is going on in here? And he was in bed, and he was sitting up, and he was just probably had a nightmare. And he was screaming, and I jumped over next to him, and I sat down on his bed, and I kind of hugged him, and I held him close, and I said, it's okay, buddy, it's all right. It's all right, buddy, it's okay. And rubbed his back, and he's still crying. I said, it's okay, buddy, shh, it's okay, it's okay. Whispering to him, and it's daddy. I don't know if he was still kind of halfway in his dream. I said, buddy, it's okay, it's daddy, but it's okay. And mom, Merce had come in, and even her mom came in too, and I said, it's okay. And then he slowly calmed down, and he slowly kind of, you know, realized who it was, and he laid back down, and, you know, and I ended up that night just kind of laying with him. I missed him so much. I just laid in bed with him and slept the rest of the night in his bed, and you know, I thought about that this morning. Each one of us has either had a moment or will have a moment of fear, of trial, of sorrow, of darkness. And in those times, maybe in our hearts, we let out that scream of fear. I mean, Donald didn't know what was going on. I don't know what was in his mind. But whatever it was, it really got a hold of him in a negative way. He was scared. Maybe he didn't know where he was. I don't know, but he didn't know what was going on. And there's times in our lives, and there will be times in our lives, when we don't know what's going on. And we're scared, and we're fearful. And we don't know what's going to happen. And we don't know if anyone cares, or if anyone's listening, or if anyone loves us, or whatever it may be. We may be the only ones that know about that situation, that problem. And thank for the unchanging presence of God in our times of fear and sorrow and trial, in those times of struggle, that God can wrap His arms around us. He can wrap His arms around us and say, it's okay. Hey, it's okay. It's me. I'm here for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. Hey, cast your care upon me. I care about you. Listen, hey, come unto me, all that are weak and heavy. I'll give you rest. And God can wrap His arms around us and give us that peace that we so need. And only He can do it. And it's because of His unchanging presence. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Listen to these words. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. Third verse says this. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed His entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find rest at the mercy seat. If you know the chorus, sing it with me. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Bring to the mercy seat. Sing it out. Never a burden. Think about it. Never a burden. Think about your own life. He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. The presence of God is an unchanging presence. No matter what you're going through, listen, you may be having the time of your life right now, and He's right there with you, enjoying it with you. Praise God. But when those difficult times do come in, and that anxiety does set in, as many of you, I know, I can look out, and I know what many of you have been through. I think of our dear Miss June. I think of Miss Brenda. I think of Brother Jeff. I think of men all around the room who've had those times of heartache and difficulty. And thank God for His unchanging presence. Thank God for the fact that He is always with us. That He's always there to take our burdens. That He's always there to lift us up. That He's always there to take us when we're down as far as we can go. He's always there to help us to our feet and to wrap His arms around us and to give us a kiss on the forehead and let us know that His love is unchanging, that He's there with us, that His word never changes. God is there for us. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. A simple reminder today of an unchanging God in an unchanging world. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.